Welcome to our second Lenten worship service. When some people hear the word love, they think of it as a feeling or an emotion. In God's world, when He's talking about love, it's not a feeling or an emotion. It's something that comes out in action. God shows His love. And as we study through the Lenten season, we see Jesus doing that. All the things that He does for us demonstrates His love. Tonight, in our study of God's Word, He has a special expectation for His first disciples, and that's to show the kind of love that He showed to them. Our theme is three words of truth, and tonight the three words are what Jesus spoke to the disciples when He said, "Love one another." And He didn't mean an emotion, He didn't mean a feeling, He meant demonstrating that love so that as they loved others and one another, they would point people to the kind of love that Jesus has for them. You and I are encouraged to do the same thing, to demonstrate the love that we have been shown as we put our trust and our thankfulness into our God. Our service for tonight follows the order that you have printed in your bulletin, and that's on the screens. Please join me in our first hymn, "Son of God, Eternal Savior." In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden, amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy, and in your faithfulness come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to His people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our reading of the Passion History. We do this each Lenten season. It's a collection of all the different readings from the Gospel lessons. This is lesson number 2, and tonight Jesus is in the upper room with His disciples, and then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane where many things are about to take place. While they were eating, on the night when He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Dear children, I am going to be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus replied, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Simon, Simon, pay attention. Satan has asked to have you all so that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Peter answered him, Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same. He said to them, When I sent you out without money bag or traveler's bag and sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they said. Then he told them, But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a traveler bag. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. He was counted with transgressors. Indeed, what is written about me is going to have its fulfillment. They said, Look, Lord, here are two swords. He said to them, That is enough. Then Jesus said to them, This night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. After they sang a hymn, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, where there was a garden called Gethsemane. He and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who was betraying him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. When he reached the place, Jesus told his disciples, Sit here while I go over there and pray. Keep praying that you may not enter into temptation. Then he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be troubled and distressed. He said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup, this suffering, away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When Jesus got up from prayer, he went to his disciples and found them sleeping as a result of sorrow. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Were you not strong enough to keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me unless I drink it, may your will be done. Again he returned and found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what they should answer him. He left them again and went away and prayed a third time. He said the same words as before. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly Judas arrived. With him was a large crowd with lanterns, torches, swords, and clubs. They came from the chief priests and the elders of the people, and Judas was leading them. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, Who are you looking for? Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. I am he, Jesus told them. Judas, the betrayer, was standing with them. When Jesus told them, I am he, they backed away and fell to the ground. Then Jesus asked them again, Who are you looking for? Jesus the Nazarene, they said. I told you that I am he, Jesus replied. So if you are looking for me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the statement he had spoken, I did not lose any of those you have given me. Now the betrayer had given them a signal, The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Immediately he went to Jesus and said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then they advanced and took hold of Jesus and arrested him. When those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with a sword?" Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But Jesus responded, "Stop, no more of this. Put your sword back into its place, because all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you not realize that I could call on my Father, and at once he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. At that same time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Have you come out to arrest me with swords and clubs as if I were a robber? Day after day I was sitting in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has happened so that the writings of the prophets would be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. The company of soldiers, their commander, and the Jewish guards arrested Jesus and bound him. They led him first to Annas, because he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, "It is better that one man die for the people." That is our reading of the Passion History for this week. We'll respond with that seasonal response together. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that you and I should be called children of God, and that is what we are. God's word for our study is from Mark chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. After Judas left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify the Son in himself and glorify him at once. Dear children, I am going to be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Dear fellow worshipers, one of the things that's easy for you and I to do, but difficult sometimes to keep, are promises. You might promise your family that you're going to take them someplace special. Maybe you promise a friend that you'll give them some sort of help. There's all kinds of things that we can promise. But then things happen. Maybe the weather is bad and you can't go on the trip that you planned. Or maybe you want to help your friend, but then you got sick. Maybe you forgot about a promise. Or maybe you didn't really want to keep your promise anymore. We make promises all the time. And if you're like me, people make promises and then sometimes they keep them and sometimes they don't. And you end up being skeptical when people say they're going to do something. Then you wonder if they really will. Will it really happen? The greatest promise ever made is when God made a promise to Adam and Eve right after they fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15. God promised that he would send a Savior into the world. At the time, it probably didn't make much sense to Adam and Eve because they would never see Jesus arrive here or know many details about him being here. But God has certainly kept that promise, hasn't he? And every time you and I go through the Lenten season, we thank the Lord for keeping that promise, for actually doing what he promised, sending his own Son here. Why would God the Father do that? Adam and Eve just ruined his perfect world. Why would he send Jesus here? Why would Jesus come here to suffer and die and be mistreated and misunderstood by so many people? Why would he do that? Well, the answer to both questions is the same answer. It's love. God's motivation for doing anything for us is love, and for Jesus, it's the same. It's that unconditional, unlimited love, that love that we don't deserve, that grace. That's what motivates God to do everything in our lives. And that's what he's looking for in your life and mine too as we live as believers. Our encouragement tonight are these three words that Jesus spoke to the disciples. Love one another. Jesus certainly shows his love for us, and he teaches us how to show love for him and for each other. The setting for this reading is Maundy Thursday. He's still in that upper room with the disciples, and Judas has just left. Do you remember the signal that Jesus gave the disciples of which one of them was going to betray him? He dipped that piece of bread in the bowl of food, and then he handed it to Judas, and then Judas took it. And after he took it, he's saying, I'm the one, and there's no reason for him to stay. He leaves. Can you imagine what the 11 disciples are thinking? They thought it was crazy when Jesus said, one of you guys, one of you 12 is going to betray me. They didn't even think it was possible. And now Judas has been identified, and it's happened just like Jesus said it would. And after Judas left, and Jesus starts talking to them about leaving, and you disciples, you can't follow me. You can't follow me now. He starts telling them all these things that they don't understand, or neither could they make sense of it. But Jesus wanted them to know ahead of time. He wanted them to know that this was all part of his Heavenly Father's plan. And that's what they didn't get right away. They weren't trusting when Jesus said things. They were trying to process it with their human minds instead of just believing. Well, the disciples didn't understand, but Jesus certainly did. He describes himself here as the Son of Man. And Jesus really is a man. He had a human body and soul, just like we do. Human characteristics. Human things that he did while he was here. And the Bible calls him a man many times in Scripture. And that was part of what Jesus needed to be. But Jesus is also true God. He is the God, the Son of God, the Father. He has divine characteristics. He does divine things. He has divine honor, which he'll show again on Judgment Day. Jesus is both true God and true man in the same person and at the same time. And Jesus understands how this is all going to work. You heard him in the reading of the Passion History, where he's praying to his Father in the stained glass window above the altar at Gethsemane. He's praying to his Father and saying, Father, if there's another way to save the world, take this cup, this suffering away from me. Jesus prayed that prayer three times, and the answer was no. There is no other way. So Jesus knew what he needed to do. He knew that he needed to live here under the law perfectly. He knew that he needed to die on the cross as a man. He knew that Jesus would be raised again, that he'd rise again from the dead, and that he would ascend back into heaven. And all these things were going to happen, just like his Father promised. And Jesus would be glorified. Glorified means to be praised or lifted up, and that's what would happen to Jesus. But notice where the glory would come from. It wasn't from who Jesus was. It came from what he did. By living perfectly, dying innocently, Jesus would be exalted. Think of what we say in the Apostles' Creed, how Jesus was exalted. He descended into hell to proclaim his victory over the devil. He rose again and made appearances to hundreds of people. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and then he's sitting at God's right hand, ruling over all things, and then he's going to come back again. That's what Jesus is waiting for now. He would be glorified by the work that he did. And why would he do it again? Love. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 5. He says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is from 1 John 4, verse 10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God acted in love, undeserved love, to give us things that we could never get for ourselves, to give us what we don't deserve. Jesus is glorified by the work that he has done and because of what he's done for us, giving us faith and forgiveness and our home in heaven. Someday you and I will be glorified when we join him in that perfect place in heaven with him. Jesus shows his love for us. And what a change that makes in our lives today. The Apostle Paul has an interesting way of writing about what faith means to us and how it changes our life. He says this in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Then at the end of that reading, he says, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of what Jesus has done, our salvation is guaranteed. Because of what Jesus has done, when the devil comes attacking, we can say no. We can resist him with our faith. Because of what Jesus has done, there isn't any problem, there isn't any trouble, there's no difficulty that could take us away from our faith in him. And it's all because Jesus has demonstrated his love for us. Three words, love one another. Jesus is certainly doing that for us and demonstrating it in our lives. In chemistry class in high school, we had litmus paper. You remember that? You'd use it to test things as you were conducting an experiment. Sometimes people use the words litmus test as a way to prove something. So how do you prove that you're good at sports? What's the litmus test? Well, maybe you have to play a game. What's the litmus test for being a good fixer, a mechanic or something? Well, the way you prove it is by fixing something and showing that you have the abilities. What's the litmus test for being a Christian? We can never obey God perfectly, but we can love him. God wants us to see what he has done for us and then love him in return. And for you and I, when things are going well in our lives and everything is fine, we can really say, I love Jesus, he's my Savior, he's done everything for me. It's easy to say then. But what about when he's testing us? What about when things are not going so well? What about when we're not feeling good or something's happened and things are out of our control? Well, then it's not so easy to say, I love Jesus and he's going to take care of me and he's going to provide for me and all the other things he promises to us. What happens? Our human minds get in the way. Things aren't the way we want them to be. And so our love then becomes an emotion. I'm not doing so well, so my love for the Lord is less. Should it ever change? Should we ever change our love for the Savior, regardless of what's going on in our lives? Because he promises that whatever is happening to us is going to work out for our good somehow. Jesus shows his love for us in the best ways, takes away our sins, all of them, gives us an eternal home in heaven that's already our possession, gives us faith to believe what the Bible says so that we understand it, we can apply it to our lives. Nothing should change that. And instead, you and I should be demonstrating that love for God every single day, and not just loving God, but also showing our love for one another. Here's what Jesus again said to them. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The disciples have heard some crazy things from Jesus about him leaving and then not coming back, and they can't go with him, and they don't understand this next step of things that he's talked about. So what he's telling them is actually to comfort them. I love you, disciples. You're going to see that when I'm hanging on the cross and paying for your sins. And after that, after I'm gone, you can demonstrate your love by loving each other as disciples and loving all people. These would be the men that would go out and share God's word with others. Demonstrate that love. When they see your love for others, they're going to reflect back that love to me, to Jesus. They'll see your motivation. Well, that's something that all of us can do. Children can show love, love for their moms and dads, who they realize are representatives from God. Parents can demonstrate that love for their kids. Kids aren't perfect, parents aren't perfect, but you show that love for each other that's motivated by God's love. Husbands and wives can show that kind of love. It's not a feeling, an emotion. It's what you do and what you say and how you act with your spouse. We can show that love for our fellow believers. Quite often, fellow believers are lonely or in need or just needing some friendship of some kind. If there's ways that we can help and demonstrate God's love for us by loving someone else, we certainly want to do it. We can even show love for unbelievers. One day Jesus was preaching and teaching, and he looked around and he saw this big crowd of people who were following him. And he says this in Matthew chapter 9. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus felt sorry for them. They had no faith. They had no direction in their life. They had no shepherd to guide them through life. And we can have that same sentiment toward unbelievers that we are aware of. Jesus took time for a guy like Nicodemus, a Pharisee, to teach him the right things. He had the time to go to Zacchaeus' house and show him about the truth of God's word and how to repent of cheating people. Jesus even had time for a guy like the Apostle Paul, who's headed to Damascus to look for more Christians to persecute them. And what does Jesus do? Brings him to faith and then makes him an apostle. You and I can demonstrate our love for whoever it is. Jesus even did that from the cross, looking down at the men that just drove the nails through his hands and feet. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When people see that kind of love that comes from God, it's going to have an effect on them like it's had on us. God wants us to love one another, whoever it might be. And as we do so, we demonstrate our love for him. Have you ever known someone that was holding a grudge of some kind? Maybe they got mad at someone for something and they just have never forgotten about it. And I've experienced that when that happens to people, that particular thing kind of runs their life. They don't forgive the person, they're still upset, and they don't get along with that person. And holding a grudge is never good as a Christian, because that means you haven't forgiven someone, and if I don't forgive someone, I can't be forgiven myself. It'd be easy to get mad at others. We have these imperfect relationships in earthly life. But couldn't Jesus have done the same thing? You dumb disciples, why don't you just believe me? Why are you questioning me? Why don't you just put your trust in me? Peter, why are you going to deny me 3 times? Judas, why are you betraying me? Jesus really could have just said, I've had it with you disciples, and not shown love to them at all. Couldn't he do the same thing to us? I've had it with you Christians. You question me, you doubt me, you wonder about things. You think you can just have a little bit of faith and that's enough. We've got all these failings for which the Lord could say, I've had it, that's it. God could hold a grudge too, but he doesn't. He forgives us again and again and again, and he assures us that all of our sins are forgiven again and again and again. Demonstrating our love for God will show itself in the way that we deal with one another, just the same way that God deals with us. We live in a way that demonstrates that love, and we're so thankful for what God has done that we want to demonstrate that love for others. We can make a lot of promises. Sometimes we keep them, sometimes we don't. Thank the Lord this evening for keeping that promise of sending a Savior, showing his love by sending Jesus here, and consider it a great privilege to be able to demonstrate that love by loving one another. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.